Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 3 p.m. It's Old Home Week on the DGS. We have Ryan Wiggins sitting in with us. Thanks again to Tricia, who was in with us for an hour or so. You missed me saying really nice things about you.
Oh, did I?
You did.
Oh, that's
I'll send you an MP3.
Yeah, if you could, maybe you could just send me like new things.
I can do that.
Because I can go get the podcast, but I wouldn't mind hearing some new stuff.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm cutting it out of the podcast. I don't want that to be on record.
Well, I'll just know that it was there in the bleeps.
Yeah, you'll just know like when it just has an awkward edit. You're like, yeah. That was me.
Oh, that was Dave saying
really nice things about
really
me.
Really genuinely nice. Wow.
Yeah, from now on, if you're listening to the show and there's a lull, you're like, that's where it was.
That must have been it. That's it. For all of time.
They had to dump it. And now that must have been it. There's 6 seconds off the rest of the show.
Right, of course. Is on Annie's show down the hall, has his own show, and you've written your second book. Congratulations. You know how impressed I am with this.
Are you?
Oh, I'm so impressed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I write short stories because I don't have the muscle to write a long story. I have figured this out. I've got about 3,000 words in me at any given time, and I can tailor them and do a nice little Halloween spooky story, but that would be like one long chapter.
Wait, Dave. Is it fiction?
It's autobiographical.
Okay. That's exactly how I wrote my first book, because I can't do that either.
So just one short story at a time.
It's one short story at a time. That's why The Life of Human, which is not this one, but that one was 2021, and it took me 12 years, so it wasn't a short labor, but I would write each character as basically a short story.
Mm-hmm.
But they all were telling one bigger story, but each one of them had their unique, you know, one's more of a thriller, one's a little scary, a couple of them are comedy, so there's kind of a mix between them. And so you get different genres, and they're different stories. They're really individual stories, but they all work together to tell this big one narrative about the robot human.
When did you realize you were doing that, as opposed to just writing?
That's what I set out to do.
Okay.
Because I thought the same thing as you. I'm like, I don't have a novel in me. I don't have the patience to sit down and write one cohesive story, but I can write one story about a guy who's realizing that he peaked in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment, he's realizing that because everybody's looking to him to solve this robot apocalypse, which is the larger story, and he just doesn't think he's got it in him. But in that short story, of course, he's going to try. Because he didn't realize he had even lost that. He thought, I've still got this. In that moment, he goes, oh, no, that's gone. But I'm going to get it back.
Interesting.
And so you take it chunk by chunk like that. And if you're telling the hard part is telling the larger story with those individual stories.
Yeah.
Because once you get halfway through the book, then you're like, okay, now these threads got to start weaving
gotta
together.
Got to find us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a fun book to write at the beginning. And then it became, they always say, It's 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration, because it's just discipline. Like, once you get inspired, that's fun, but then you got to do it. And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
This book is not that.
No?
No. This book you can read in about 20 minutes. And I've talked to you guys a little bit. Deep Thoughts, Jack Handy, you know, famous on SNL. That is a real guy. So Jack Handy is a real person, which is the first myth that he dispels, because he doesn't do public appearances or anything. And he's fairly famous because of Deep Thoughts. He wrote all of what I would consider some of the best sketches ever. Toots is a Driving Cat, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer. Some of these crazy characters, they're Jack Handy. They're just timeless, weird characters. And he did Deep Thoughts. Well, when I was probably in fifth grade on through college, I'm like, this guy is the pinnacle of existence. Like, Deep Thoughts are the funniest thing I've ever read. And so I would mimic, and I kind of taught myself how to write comedy, like, in that form, in a way. And then by the time I got into college, I was just writing my own. And I started saving them. Well, now this book is from the time I started writing them, like, junior year of college or whatever, through now. And I got to tell you, the early ones are terrible. So most of those didn't make the book, but the later stuff, you know, I thought was funny enough. I brought a few. The book gets printed, so it's out today.
Okay.
But I don't get a copy right away. I should have ordered specs. And
yes,
I'm just like, I don't know what I'm not good at publishing. I like writing, but I brought a couple and you can kind of get an idea of where this goes. Okay, number one. My friend Phil told me if you leave a whale out of water long enough, it will shrivel up to the size of a raisin. Well, guess what, Phil? They shrivel up a little, but you exaggerated. That's one page of the book.
I love it.
You know what would be a scary costume? A guy who had a skeleton for a head. Not a skull, a skeleton.
Like a whole skeleton.
Yeah.
That's his head. A 6-inch skeleton.
Right, right, right. Sure, the tavern was way on the outskirts of town, almost to the where you wouldn't have thought it was in the town at all. Tumbleweed blowing through the parking lot. Passersby plopped their keisters down for a drink, assuming they were outside the town the whole time. But technically, it was within city limits.
The best part is Ryan's reaction.
Yeah, cracking himself up.
Yes.
I got to get you guys there.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, I'm enjoying myself. Like,
I'm having a good time.
So, yeah. And the Jack Handy story, the crazy thing is, because he was such the inspiration for this, he's not easy to contact. Like, he's not out there with a publicist that you can be like, hey, is he, you know, available for events and stuff? He doesn't do it. He still writes books, but that's it. So I got his email through the fact that he still sells books, because he just sells them direct, basically, at this point. And I asked him back in May. I started this back in May, basically. And through knowing Victoria Jackson on SNL, like, was kind of able to kind of say, hey, maybe you could give me an endorsement. He never responded. So finally, I contacted him one last time about early September and said, hey, I know this is a long shot, but, like, I really admire your work, like, to the point where I don't want to tell you how much because it's a little creepy. And but I would love if you could give me just a blurb or a foreword. Anything would be awesome. And he's told me, no, I don't really do that, especially for strangers and stuff. And I said, that's fine. I completely understand that. But I sent him a couple of them. I said, just in case. And then he emailed me back and he goes, all right, I'll do it.
That's so cool.
And I'm like,
good for you for having the guts to do it.
Freaking kidding me. You know, I was standing in the studio on the Annie Fry show, and there's probably a moment where if you're watching the live stream, I just crap my pants because I couldn't believe that he, after telling me no, you know, just that, I mean, it was nice of him to talk to me, and I thought, oh, that's fine. At least I got to talk to the guy. But he said yes. And then he said, send me some more material. So I did. He really liked it. He said, I'm gonna send you 4 blurbs, pick any one of them. So, like, he put time into it.
That's great.
That's really
so
nice.
It's like a life career milestone for me after having loved this guy's work for so long, for him to be right there on the cover.
I have a thing like that. Knife Point Horror is my favorite podcast. Has been 15 years since Nick introduced me to it. We share that. We know it's a horror podcast. We know every story inside and out. I really think I've read his stuff more than he has. And we became friends, had him on the show, and I have sent him my stories. And you know, you can tell when someone's blowing smoke. Mm-hmm. And I could tell he read them and he was quoting it. And there is one part in the story called Talkers, which is a bit of a zombie thing, where people just talk after they're dead. They don't eat brains. They just talk. And in one scene, it's fresh from a funeral, and the person bites through the sewing of their lips so that they can talk. And he quoted that to me, and he's like, good God, man. And I just, like, I look at that email once a week.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? Somebody you respect that much to go, you have what it takes. It's so great. And so I plastered, man. That's like my one marketing tool is Jack Handy endorses.
Brought to you.
Yeah. The grocery list. I don't know why I called it that, but I was going to call it Special Secrets because I thought that's funnier. But I'm like, it sounds like I'm just doing deep thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's called The Grocery List if you're interested in picking it up.
How many, like when you're on a tear, how many do you write in like an hour?
Oh, man. It's usually taking an idea and crafting it and crafting it and crafting it and crafting it. It's amazing how much one or two sentences, how much work goes into the wording.
Because you only
things.
Have like 15 words.
Yeah. I mean, you got to boom and hit and then you're out. And there's 100 of these things. So, you know, I've probably got over 1,200 of these written, But the, like I said, the farther I go back, the worse they are. The new ones are a lot funnier. And the more I just take that, and I'm like, man, there's something really funny there. I just kind of keep crafting it until I think I've gotten it. There was one that even in the book, I was still crafting them, like in the formatting section, because you just go, oh, this would be a lot funnier, you know. And I couldn't tell you what it was. Let's see if I stumble across it while we're talking. But one moment a surveillance person must dread is the moment when they realize the one they're truly surveilling is themselves.
Deep.
Now, that wasn't the one, but I mm-hmm. thought it was funny.
You're my funny friend, and this is intended as a compliment, that thinks you're the most funny.
Thank you.
It's important. It's important to be able to laugh at what you've done and go like, this is good. This is fun. Because everyone wants to be like, I don't know. Just if you want to read it, go ahead. It sucks, I'm sure. But you've always been like, this is pretty good.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that if you read the book, you'd go, all right, that was all right, you know, at worst. And at best, because I think because I'm trying to mimic something I know is good. And yeah. So if I've at least gotten a portion of that, I know you're at least going to laugh.
I remember going through my Far Side stage and doing Far Sides, my own version, which was an unadulterated ripoff.
Yeah.
But I found them the other day. This is like when I was 20, and some are okay.
Yeah.
And that came out of getting a Far Side book for Christmas, and my mom didn't get one. She did, and like the one with the red hot poker, and I'm like, he's a red hot, see, he's poking her, and he's in flames. He's a red, it's like, she didn't get it. She didn't get a single Far Side ever. Not one.
Are you going to publish those?
I should put them out there.
You should publish all this stuff.
I should.
It's really it's not easy. I don't want to tell people who are listening, you're like, oh, I've always wanted to publish a book. It's still not the simplest thing in the world. If you're going to do it right, you're going to spend a little money. Like, I always commission a cover artist because that's the one thing that sells. Yeah. That's the one thing people see.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you really don't have to spend a lot of money if you do just the little stuff.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Quick break. Right back. DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS 324. Wheeler is out all week. Ronge is still sick. We have Ryan Wiggins from down the hall hanging out with us. We have the think tank coming up at the top of the hour with Steve Ellman and Steve Butts. Seems kind of mean. Today's Anti-Obesity Day and National Cake Day. You know that was intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, the thing.
You kind of get fat by eating one, and then they're kind of saying the other one's good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
See, he's doing it. He's writing stuff right now. This made me feel kind of
scribbling it down at the bottom.
That's a good one. That's book number two.
46% of people plan to not shop on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or at all this weekend. That makes me feel better because I always feel a little bit of FOMO, just a little bit of like, oh, I bet I'm really leaving some money on the table.
There's
with
something
Amazon.
Something
out there for Dave.
I still like shopping in person. I haven't done it in a couple of years because we're doing soccer tournaments on Thanksgiving weekend, but going to the mall on Black Friday is fun. It's not fun in the morning, but later, there's activity. Every store is open. They've got every deal you could possibly think that they could ever come up with. And it's just like you're being a part of something.
I've always done weird things so that people would think I was cool. Someone mentioned a few years ago in radio, like, you wear sandals until Thanksgiving. I'm like, do you think it's cool? Because I can keep doing that. And it's like I don't have the windows in my Jeep because someone might think like, wow, that's kind of badass. And I used to think that about myself because I did all my Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. And it was terrible. It was absolutely unenjoyable. But I just wanted people to go like, you know what that guy does.
That is cool, though. You should keep doing it.
Yeah.
If somebody thinks it's cool, it's me.
I kind of did it last time. Not by choice. I just ran out of time.
That's got to be difficult to pull off.
Oh, it
like,
is.
Like, you're disappointing people if you
Everyone
do that, right?
Everyone got, like, three robes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandma told me that her dad, which would have been my great-grandpa, used to do that. Like, he'd get his Christmas bonus and then immediately go buy all of Christmas on Christmas Eve. And I thought, man, that's cool. Maybe there was a day that you could do that. I just don't know if you still could.
Yeah, like at the old school department stores like that.
Yeah.
You probably could do it.
Yeah. Like window shopping and you're like, I want that, and that. Let's go.
I used to go Christmas shopping with my dad, and he would buy lingerie for my mom. And I'm not talking the nice kind, and he called them skating outfits.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
I remember
and
this.
And I really, like, was straining myself to remember the last time I saw my mom skate, much less in, like, like, these look like just pasties, Dad. And it's like, yeah, she loves to skate.
Yeah, right.
But one year, she had bought him a one-step camera. Remember those? Like, they're like just a Polaroid.
No.
Before they were ironic. That's what you would take a picture with a one step. You take a picture, it'd come out, and you'd shake it. And he was wanting to buy one for her. But I was the keeper of the secret. And I didn't let him. And I knew, like, on Christmas, I was going to be the hero. This is, like, the way I thought. Like, he would be like, oh, my God. It's like tears running down his face. I'm so glad you kept me from buying this one step. And he just, like, GD'd me a couple times. And just,
why did you think she wouldn't want the one step?
Because she had bought one for him.
Oh, okay, okay.
So we would have had two one steps in the same family.
Gotcha, it's like the gift of the Magi.
It was. It was. And I remember just keeping that secret. And every now and then my dad would be like, you know, your mom's going to be really disappointed on Christmas if she doesn't get that one step camera.
You know, you hear stories like that, and I'll go back even to my grandma again. She said one of the most excited she ever got was on Christmas because they would get oranges.
Yeah.
And I'm
it's
like,
all relative.
How much have things changed that you'd get excited as a kid to be like, an orange?
Yeah. My like, Christmas treat.
Yeah. You're just walking through Aldi being like, I don't even care about these. Right. Just running over with my shopping cart.
My dad had
have scurvy because we are not eating our oranges.
My dad had a whole bit he would do. Like, I was so poor, one year I got a football, and then the next year they blew it up for me. Like,
it's good material.
That's the level I was working with.
Yeah. That's, not bad. That's in the next book.
Oh, man. I just saw this story. I hadn't seen this yet. Indonesia has a cow shortage, so they figured out a way to make milk out of fish.
Ew.
Right?
Does it explain the process?
No, thank God.
Milk out of
is
fish.
Is there a good way?
Sounds really bad, actually.
Sounds really bad.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how that would happen at all.
Fish milk. Ugh. Hey, Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
You know, it's hard. You got to catch them, and they're squirmy. To milk them,
tough
is really
to milk.
Tough.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tiny little nipples.
Just writes itself.
Tiny little fish nipples. I gotta go out and milk the fish.
I have fish.
Okay, so
I have fish. Greg, can you milk me?
So local fishermen send loads of pony fish twice a day to a factory to be deboned and ground into a fine white protein-filled powder.
Huh.
Then it's mixed with a sugary flavor like strawberry or chocolate, and they say it just tastes like normal milk.
Mm-mm. No way that's true.
Well, if it's just strawberry or chocolate, then it doesn't taste like normal milk, because chocolate milk just tastes like chocolate. So what you're eating is chocolate fish. It's just hidden by the fact that it's got chocolate flavor in it.
Yeah, but the viscosity of milk is really...
Don't say viscosity.
Specific.
I almost threw up when he said
man,
viscosity.
Man, if Dust got in that, it's
oh,
game
man.
Over.
No kidding.
It ain't happening.
A fish hair?
Ooh, gross.
Fish hair.
Scale.
Yeah, no one needs that. Dave, it seems like one cold front should be enough, but I guess it's not.
No, these are a series of three, and each one gets progressively colder, and it's continuing to look a little bit better for a shot of a little snow anyway before this holiday weekend is over. So I don't want to give that all away right off the top. So let's go through this because a lot of folks will just be kind of disappearing now for the holiday and may not check back in with weather in general. And this is a weekend that you kind of have to pay attention to the weather. Not that there's a big storm system for us. There will be one on the East Coast, but we've got some really cold air on the way, and we do have that shot of some snow. So Wednesday is cloudy. Be some rain, all rain developing mid to late afternoon, 48 for the high. Periods of rain Wednesday night looks a little wet, especially for like 6 p.m. until about midnight. Could be a couple of sloppy, wet snowflakes, but don't worry about that. 33. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, some cloudiness early, then going sunny. It's cold. It's dry, 39. 24 for the overnight low Thursday night. Friday, quiet day, sunny skies, but cold, 35 degrees. Then on Saturday, it's our first Alberta Clipper of the season racing in on the Northwest flow. It will be cloudy. It will be cold enough for snow at 32 degrees, and there'll be some blowing snow with strong gusty winds around that clipper. First guess, I'm going to go 1, maybe 2 inches by late Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. Then it just races by. That's why we call them clippers. Sunday is sunny. High temperature on Sunday, sticking with 29 degrees.
So an inch or so of snow on Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Interesting.
Right. And it will be a real dry, powdery snow. That's why, you know, it could be blowing around mm-hmm. quite a bit. And why it's, even though the air temperature is right at 32, the upper atmosphere is going to be really cold. So the flakes that develop will be a fine crystal, and they'll make it all the way to the ground.
Nice.
It's like that stuff they make the fish milk out of. Mm-hmm. So will it stick around for a couple days, or is the earth too warm?
No, the ground temperatures will be cold enough because we're going down to 24 degrees on Thursday night, only 35 for the high on Friday. So, and then 29 for the high on Sunday. So whatever we get will kind of hang around, but it will be a wind-blown snow. It's going to get blown all over the place, and it's not a lot. So it's maybe just a little more than a mood snow for
okay.
us.
Okay, that's good.
It's just in time for me to put up my Christmas tree.
There you go.
There you go.
Perfect. Doesn't sound like a good snowball fight kind of snow, though.
No, it's not. It's not at all. But if there is just enough, it'd be good for like a flying saucer or cardboard. Yeah. Cardboard nice. Always works great.
Perfect. That's good. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. President Biden will attend President-elect Trump's inauguration in January, according to the White House. Honoring Biden's promise to attend the inauguration of the winner. It'll take place on the steps of the U.S. Capitol on January 20th, but it's unclear if Vice President Kamala Harris or former Presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, or Barack Obama will attend.
I forget. Is that typical as well?
I believe so.
Whoever is alive and in good shape shows up?
I think that is typical. But it's nice that Biden is going to be attending.
Would you be salty at all with the others if they don't show up?
No, because Donald Trump kind of already broke that tradition. So if they don't want
to
do it.
To begin with.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, fair enough. But I think it's a good sign of Biden's character that he's going to go to this and make it a smooth transition like he said he would do. 88% of Gen Z uses AI to do their jobs for them. This is according to a new survey. Google Workspace says the future of work is here and it's AI powered. Gen Z is deploying this technology in meaningful ways, from improving communication with colleagues to freeing up time for strategic work. I say good for you, but that might catch up with you at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows how that's going to go? If your boss comes around and realizes, oh, you've just been using AI this whole time, well, we'll just get AI to do it instead of you.
Yeah, it's almost like they just need someone to push a button. You know, like they can't push all the buttons themselves. They can't create reports out of AI because they just don't literally have the time. So they employ someone just to push a button. Someone just do a ChatGPT.
President Biden is proposing that Medicare and Medicaid cover costly weight loss drugs for millions of overweight Americans.
Yeah, it'd be about $30 billion. And I would like to see everyone be healthier. I think people deserve that. But it's sort of like forgiving the student loans. I get a little salty when someone gets a benefit that I don't get because I make too much money. Kind of pisses me off.
Mm. I feel ya. I think it does make sense, though, because obesity is such like a what do they call it, like a comorbidity or something. Yeah. It affects so many different aspects of your health that if you can relieve that pressure, it's really going to help other things you have going on. So I kind of see the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it's just a form of discrimination that no one cares about, because no one cares about fairly well-to-do white guys. And I understand why you don't. But we kind of take it in the shorts, like Dave can confirm. I have not made enough to have like a Grand Cayman's account or a forensic accountant. I'm a W-2 employee and pay 40-50% in taxes, whatever it is. And no one cares and no one feels bad for you. But at some point, you get a little grumbly about stuff like that, where you're like, oh, good for you. You get Mounjaro. Nice. Mm-hmm.
The world's oldest man has passed away in England. He was 112 years old. His name was John Alfred Tenniswood.
That sounds made up.
He attributed his longevity to luck and moderation, avoiding smoking and excessive drinking. See, I like that answer. I like that more than whenever people are like, all I do is eat licorice and drink Dr. Pepper. Like, I don't think that's actually the secret. But to say, hey, I'm just lucky and I'm moderate in the things that I intake, I think that's good advice.
Here's some advice. Don't break your hip. Yeah. Like, I've learned that now with my hospice stuff. It's amazing how many people that we care for in hospice are there because of a broken hip.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A man in South Korea has been sentenced to a suspended prison term for intentionally gaining excessive weight in order to avoid mandatory military service. He gained 99 pounds to try to dodge his military duty. And the court found that the man and his friend devised a plan for him to put on the weight to qualify for social service instead of active duty. He's been sentenced to 1 year in prison, suspended for 2 years, while his friend received a 6-month suspended prison term for aiding and abetting the offense.
What does friend do?
He helped him hatch the plan.
Oh, come on.
He was conspiring.
That's fed him.
Yeah,
he fed him. He kept bringing him donuts. A social media influencer was arrested after filming herself getting ready to steal from a store using fake barcodes. Real smart. The 22-year-old TikTok influencer had nearly 300,000 followers and was filming herself using fake barcodes to steal from a Target store in Florida. She filmed herself getting ready before the theft and was identified through social media posts.
I'm just picturing, like, the get ready with me. Like, get ready with me.
How about this person
before I rob Target
that stole $154 million from, was it Macy's?
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I don't even know what.
Give that person, make them a CEO somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you shouldn't steal. But if they steal, like, $1,000, then it's like, that's horrible. They, you know, you should catch them, you should fire them, prosecute them, whatever. But if they steal that much, like, it's on Macy's to not have not caught that sooner. Like,
I know you can buy
this person, like, can't be that smart.
Very expensive jewelry and stuff at Macy's, but I just wonder what these big ticket items were to add up to $154 million.
Really big ticket.
And finally, demure is dictionaries.com's word of the year for 2024. It rose to prominence on TikTok, but of course has been a word for a very long time.
Yes.
That's what always drove me crazy about this trend is people are like, demure, it's a new word. What does it mean? It's just a normal word.
Yeah. Someone who you think is cool said it ironically, and now you know the word.
Absolutely.
Rachel, you're crossing into the old category.
You're getting there.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
You're getting there. Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
Welcome back, guys. We have the Think Tank coming up next with Steve Ellman, St. Charles County Executive, Steve Butch, representative from the city. Want some fun facts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the fun one, the first one's really fun. It's about corn.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
An average ear of corn has 800 kernels arranged in 16 rows. Genetically, each cob has between 750 and 1,000 potential kernels, but only 400 to 600 come to fruition. And there's always, never, this has never not happened, there's always an even number of rows.
Hmm.
Very cool.
Not once I get hold of them.
It's a lot of corn knowledge.
It's corn.
Yeah. All the corn knowledge I've never once thought of. I never thought about, like, is there always, concentric kernels? And, I mean, it looks pretty perfect when you look at it, obviously.
Man, that street corn we had last week at our
pretty good
work Thanksgiving, delish. Yeah.
They put a little too much stuff on it
for
my
me.
Taste.
Not for me.
Not for me either.
Load me up.
John Tyler had the most children of any president. He had 15 kids.
Whoa.
Right? When Facebook was developing the like button, the engineers all wanted to call it the awesome button, but Mark Zuckerberg vetoed that.
I remember when the likes came out.
Do you?
Yeah. It was like, oh, what's this newfangled contraption?
Was it
this
a will never power catch on. Shift?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it was. And, like it, and if you think
unlocked
of it,
a new fear?
Well, it unlocked, kind of par for what Rachel was speaking on earlier. It unlocked that sort of new thing where now we are
validation
for likes and validation. Yes, and how you feel more less importantly even than how you feel when you do get the validation, how you feel when you don't get the validation.
Do you still feel that way, or is it subsided?
I might, which is why I don't post.
Hmm. You just don't want to be judged.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to be judged one way or the other. I don't want to know if I would receive validation or not.
So we had one story for you about corn. We have one story for Rach about Frasier.
Oh, nice.
Eddie, your favorite,
favorite
character, made $10,000 per episode.
Good for him.
His real name was Moose. He died in 2006 after making $3.2 million.
Good for Moose.
Good for Moose's owner.
Kind of makes me feel bad about myself.
Moose is so outpacing you.
The dog is quite a bit more successful.
Well, he was very well trained. He did so many different tricks on that show. I watched an episode last night where Martin put a blanket over him.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And the whole thing was like, oh, Eddie's too dumb to move out from under the towel. It was a towel, not a blanket. And that dog sat so still. I was so proud of him.
You know, I can't find my way out of a blanket. No one's giving me 10 grand.
At one point, Nick was going to get an Eddie tattoo.
Ah, oh, that'd be awesome. Oh, you should get that.
That's fun. We are on the brink of my